Was Mike Springer good? Did you enjoy Mike Springer?
Yeah.
We were all here for that. You get to this stage of the summer and numbers do go down because people start to drop off and that, which is okay. Should we go home? No. it's just that kind of summer feeling, isn't it? But we'll try and keep it exciting. Let me think, how can I do that? No. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're our healer and our teacher, and we ask you to do both tonight. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we welcome you afresh. Thank you for being with us, for hearing that worship song, and coming and filling this atmosphere with your presence. We appropriate that by faith now. We receive you and ask you to help us. I ask you to help me speak. I ask you to help every heart be open and get something really significant, a real gem for every person from tonight. Amen. So we can be trained to heal the sick with understanding. More understanding. Okay, there's lots of things I want to say. So I think I did all four of these talks last year. I think I did all the talks of A61 last year. So it's nice not to do them all, but it just means that I've got masses and masses of stuff that I think, and so I'm just going to nick little bits from different bits. So can I just show you this screen? Mike Springer did this screen for you, eh? Already? So you've seen this one? This one?
Yeah.
Something like this. Did you understand that? Was that clear what he said? This is our understanding of the kingdom of God, and it's massively, massively important, actually. That saves us falling into two extremes. One extreme is sort of that there's no healing and miracles today. Lots of Christians believe that. I mean, I'm sure you've come across that already. It's a massively extreme view. You have to take a pair of scissors to your Bible and cut out a lot of scriptures to believe that. But thousands do, and so-called Bible-believing evangelical Christians don't believe there's any signs, wonders, miracles, gift of tongues, any manifestation of anything supernatural now, because that died with the apostles. That was only there during the life of the apostles. And once the Bible was complete, the canon of scripture was together, then we didn't need that anymore because we have the Bible, which of course is absolutely ridiculous and very poor Bible handling of the Bible, considering they're meant to be such amazing Bible people. Thousands of evangelical Christians believe that. On the other hand, you have a pretty extreme Pentecostal view, I think is extreme and extremely unhelpful, where you get a massive emphasis on faith and the word of faith and confessing what you believe for to such an extreme that you don't get it so much now because of this helpful truth and teaching that is pretty wide known now and understood. But before this was that clear, and actually it was John Wimber that helped get this that clear, it's not that long ago, loads of people went down this route. Loads of Pentecostals and Charismatics went down the route of just, you know, the word, it says I'm healed, so I'm healed. You're in pain and you can't walk, mate. But I'm healed. And, you know, by his stripes I am healed, so I'm healed, so I'm healed. Right, I'm not saying there's nothing in that. There's something in that kind of faith, but not everything. And in the end, it's just stupidity. You never see that kind of talk in the New Testament. Never. In the Gospels, nor in the Acts of the Apostles. You never get them sending people away still in pain, or still blind, or still with leprosy, and saying to them, just believe, just believe. You don't get them doing that, and you don't get people saying, no thanks, I don't need prayer, I'm healed. You get people actually healed. Jesus healed them all. There is something in that teaching. That's an extreme, an unhelpful extreme, actually. Or just a sense that, you know, if you don't have that extreme of not believing, you come to another belief where, well, I do believe that Jesus heals. But how come not everyone I pray for is healed? And how come it's gradual? And how come it's a mystery? And how come she was saved and she died and she's still ill and she was completely instantly healed and she's getting healed slowly and she died and she... How did that work? Well, you know what? Biblically, this is how it works. Here's the fact of the matter. The kingdom of God has come with Jesus. Do you know, it's not very clear. It's not a very clear thing, this. I can't remember who did it. I think Andy did this for me. You know, it's just so unhelpful. But anyway, this is meant to be the present evil age. That's what Paul describes this time. This is the present evil age. And then, would you, you know, well, Genesis, paradise. I'm going to do this, sorry. Genesis, paradise, there's no sin. There's no evil age. But the little red line going down is the fall of man, okay? Sin came in, and with sin came sickness. With sin came death, sickness, la-di-da, you know all this. And then here's the Old Testament. There's two things running. There's God's, the kingdom of heaven is still there. God's there. He's speaking to people. There's prophets. There's things happening. But the kingdom has not come. God hasn't reinvaded the earth to take it back. He hasn't. He's speaking about it. He's promising it. But when Jesus comes, the promised Messiah comes, Jesus is born and starts his ministry. And Jesus starts his ministry with that phrase, the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus spoke a lot about the kingdom of God. In fact, that's probably one of the main themes of all his teaching. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is at hand. And the kingdom of heaven being, you know, right available to us now. You can reach out and touch it. You can experience the kingdom because the king is here himself. Jesus is on earth. He's on earth. So Jesus is on earth, dies on the cross. The kingdom's here. Loads of most of the signs and wonders in the Bible are happening now. Bang, 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 bang. People getting healed. People getting delivered. Demons cast out. People get forgiven. People coming into a relationship with God. The death, the resurrection of Jesus, even more. Jesus goes back to heaven, but the kingdom doesn't. The kingdom stays and the Holy Spirit comes and comes and comes and comes through revivals, through outpourings, personal outpourings all the time. And the kingdom is here. And right now there's two train tracks. You often hear me say this. There's two train tracks running at the same time. There's this present evil age. Are things getting worse? Yes, they do. They get, you know, they get very, very bad. And then God steps in judgment. That's usually what happens throughout history. This is just normal history. You know, a civilization or a nation's sins mount up to a point of chronic evil and God judges them, usually with war. Usually he raises up another continent, nation, and smashes them down and humbles them and brings them to nothing, like he did with us 70 years ago, which we quickly, easily forget, and gave us two world wars in a very short time, which massively, massively humbled us. You know, we're having one egg a week. One slice of chocolate a week. There's no fat people in England then. We weren't all losing weight then. We're all on rations. Everyone's hungry all the time. There's no metal fences because every piece of metal was making a bomb to save our lives, to protect us from our enemies that were at our throat. We were massively, massively humble and almost invaded and almost destroyed. And we'd lost every battle of the Second World War until King George said, we've done everything we can do. We now need to cry out to God. I'm calling on the whole nation to pray and fast and cry out to God to save us. And there was a national day of prayer and fasting just as the Battle of Britain was happening. And they said, we've sent up the last Spitfires, we've got nothing else. Churchill's playing the man and saying, we'll fight them on the beaches, but you'll have to. We'll fight them on the... Yeah, but they're in. We're gone. Britain's gone. We're eating German sausage and driving on autobahns. We're gone. We're demolished. We're destroyed. But God in his mercy, if you know anything about the history of the Second World War, absolute supernatural mercy. The only time Adolf Hitler had gone against the advice of his demonic spirit guide. He had a spirit guide that was telling him what to do in every battle. And the only time he ever went against that advice was then. And all of our nation was crying out to God for mercy. And he was on the brink of invading Britain and sending so much energy and planes to invade Britain. He changed his mind, invaded Russia, and was the end of him. was destroyed. The winter came, you know, that was the end of the world, started collapsing. And he had us by the throat, but changed his mind. God, mercy. So God's done it with us. Did it with the Babylonians, did it with the Egyptians, did it with the Romans, did it with every nation. He'll do it again in Europe as we sin and sin and sin and reject his ways and turn against him. It's this present evil age. Jesus said before he comes back again, there'll be evil like there's never been. Momentous evil, terrible times, terrible times. Do we believe in great revivals before Jesus comes? Yeah. Do we believe in great judgment? Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Both exactly the same. There'll be terrible things and awesome things, as there is. Great outpourings of the Holy Spirit. Millions coming into the kingdom of God and massive, horrific judgments. And, you know, every day Christians are being crucified in Syria and Nigeria now more than ever. Every day our brothers and sisters are crucified. We've got a headache, you know. I'm a bit down. We're wiped out all over the place. People are shedding the blood for Jesus every single day. And we live in a present evil age that we suffer with, we fight with, we get ill here, we get tempted here, there's trouble here. You are here. You're in the kingdom, but you're right next to this and experience it all the time. So what do we get here in our life? We get a mixture. We get a mixture until Jesus comes back. Jesus comes back. Is that maybe Jesus comes back and takes us with him or something?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Barbara. You in faith for it. I am then. I can't remember what I meant by this. Anyway, either we're going up or he's coming down or something anyway. But the point is, this world is coming to an end. It's got a sell-by date. It won't always be mountains of evil and then good and then massive revivals. Mountains of evil, there'll be a final evil. And then Jesus will return physically to this earth, not as the, you know, not as the Saviour, actually. To save those who are waiting for him, yes, but as the judge. To end human history as we know it. And this line is going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever. We'll be with Jesus, you know. Maybe I should have done that line coming down and going on there, because that's more like it. Heaven's coming to us more than we're going to it, you know. I saw the New Jerusalem coming down. Jesus is building a new city. It's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. Yoo-hoo! We're going to be on it. Live there forever with Jesus, thank God. We want as many people as possible to cross over and be with us, obviously. But here's the truth. While you're ministering in this life, you're ministering in a mixture. The kingdom has come, but it's not fully come. The kingdom is here, but it's not fully here. We can overcome sin, but we can't overcome it all the time. We can't overcome the presence of sin. We can't overcome all temptation. No, it's not like that. We can't achieve perfection in any shape or form until Jesus comes back and totally perfects us in his coming, or you've died and he raises you up. Wherever you've died, wherever your dust is, he can get you back and make you new anyway. You know, what's the seed that's planted isn't the seed that comes up, Paul said. We're going to have different bodies. It's going to be different, you know. But bodies that will never, ever experience any sickness or pain. When we pray for someone to be healed, it's a pretty big thing, actually. It's not just medical or even spiritual. It's a sign of where we stood, of the kingdom we're in, of where we're going, of where they can go. It's a sign that our kingdom is greater than the devil's kingdom, and the power of God is greater than Satan's. It's a sign and a wonder. That's where that phrase comes from. Over and over in the Bible, healings are usually called signs. When Jesus starts to do miracles, John said, that's the first of his signs, his miraculous signs. So let's read a few of these scriptures. Anyway, I hope that's helpful, because it's massively important. Stuart's going to be speaking in a couple of weeks about what you do when people don't get healed, how you cope with that, how you understand that, and all the rest. And we know that, you know, not everyone we pray for gets healed. And we know that was the normal life of the New Testament church too. We know that people who saw incredible healings, like the Apostle Paul, who raised that guy from the dead, who fell out the window, and, you know, people were hearing him preach, and he'd just get faith and say, in the name of Jesus, stand up to the crippled man, he'd stand up. And tremendous power flowing with him. Healing, 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 healing. He also writes a letter to his disciple Timothy and says, how's your bad stomach? Take a little bit of wine for your bad stomach. What?
Why didn't you lay hands on him, Paul? Or do you think he hadn't? I have to assume he prayed for Timothy. Would you assume that?
Yes.
I mean, I've got to assume that will be a normal course of action for any of them. I've got a really bad stomach, got a weak stomach. I keep getting the runs. I don't know what it was. I'm in a lot of pain all the time. Come on, Timothy, let's pray for you. The name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul. The name of Jesus. How is it feeling? Oh, not so good. Oh, take a bit of wine. I might have prayed for him many times, but in this letter he sends to him, take a bit of wine for your stomach. He says in one of his other letters, I stayed with that church because I had to, I was so ill. He said, I can testify to them that they would have taken out their eyes and given me their eyes if they could have. They were so full of love. Something wrong with his eyes? Paul? He's ill? Huh? Did that happen? Yeah. Why? Because they're not in heaven yet. They're moving in tremendous power. In India, I've been going to meetings, vomiting on the way. Vomiting on the way, get to the meetings, all heaven comes down, demons are coming out, people are getting healed. Amen! Then I go home and vomit again. I'm sick. I'm ill. This is what Paul said. He understood this. My grace is sufficient for you. God said to him, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, we carry this treasure in earthen vessels. It's okay to be weak, to be human, to be normal. Don't let yourself go down a super spiritual road of ministry, especially when big revival waves start hitting us. And there's hundreds of people and thousands of people, many people getting healed and delivered. Don't let it go to your head. If God's using you amazingly, and I hope he will be. Why not? Why not? He's got you here already. It'd be fine to prepare you. But keep your feet on the ground. And sometimes a little bit of your own illness doesn't do you any harm. It just reminds you you're not there yet. And you're all the rest. You asking a question there, brother, just waving. Sorry, I'm nicking your thing.
Like when you pray for someone, about when you stop having faith, and when's the hope? Because it's one of these things where I keep having hope and keep on standing in faith that Christ has done that.
Definitely.
Because I know that he must do that.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
It is. It's a tension. That's a tension of living where you are now. It's a tension of, and you know, Stuart is going to be covering this, so I won't go too much, but it's enough. You know what? This is why this is helpful. If you don't understand this, you're very vulnerable to being discouraged and stop praying. I prayed for her with all my heart, and I really believed she was going to live, and she died. Do you know what? First of all, disconnect your ego from it. Because it's nothing to do with you anyway. You're praying for them in the name of Jesus, and it's up to Jesus whether they live or die. Don't play God with healing. So if you understand that, you're just the waiter bringing, you're not the chef, he's the chef. That's how we view preaching in all ministry here. We talk about this illustration a lot. He's the chef, and you're bringing the blessing of God to them, and God decides. And you know what? Can you grow in faith? Yeah. Can you grow in power and understanding? Yeah. Can they grow in faith? Yeah. Do people sometimes get healed over a period of time? Yeah. Do sometimes people not get healed at all? Yeah. And part of the tension is, you know, having to live with that. That's the reality of where we are.
It just makes me think, for example, because it's something like very powerful night.
Yeah. Yeah, you only say that if you feel it. Yeah, there's always a but. There's always a but. But there's anointings of faith as well, where you don't feel the but. You're not aware of the but. You're just aware of ba 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 bang 100%. And you do see a lot of stuff happen then. You're riding a wave, you know.
that interesting phrase. Jesus was in the house and the presence of the Lord was there to heal. Oh, that's interesting. It was like a healing presence of the Holy Spirit. And Luke said, interesting little phrase. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you obey the Lord and leave it with him. I mean, someone like Reinhard Bonnke, who has raised the dead and sees so many people.
He's made mistakes as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's made mistakes as well.
Of course.
I mean, yeah. He's done things and really
healed. Well, sometimes it's not mistakes. You're just obeying. You're just trying. You're just human. You're a vessel. You're sensing the Lord. You're trying to do it. And he says, one of his phrases is, if I pray for 10 people, And nine of them aren't healed, I pray for number 10 as though all nine of them were gloriously healed. With the same level of faith and commitment. Because actually, your ego is disconnected from it. You don't lose or win. It's not about you. It's about serving them, helping them, seeing them healed, and seeing the name of the Lord glorified. So you pray for the sick, because that's what Jesus did. If people come for prayer, you pray for them. And you know, many, many people do get healed. There's loads of different things you could say, I mean. But that's helpful. Because if you understand some of that, it'll help you with discouragement or just not understanding. Why? Why is because we're not there yet. You know, and actually some people, you know, I mean, I think of my dad. He's 84. Thank you. Dad! No. And he's 84, my dad. I mean, he had a heart bypass. I was going to say quadruple, but it's 5, and I don't know the word for that.
He's 86.
He's 86? Dad! Anyway, he's 86. He's 86. Any advance on 86? Anyone else know my dad more than I do? Anyway, 87. No. Any advance? 86. Well, here's the thing with my dad. I mean, when he was 52, he had a 5 bypass thing. You know, he was the first person in Freeman's Hospital to ever have a 5, you know. And that was, well, is that like 30 years ago or something? I'm not really good at maths, but anyway, it's a long time ago. And we prayed for him to be healed then, me and Margaret, and you know what, to survive it, and he did. And after then, he was saved, him and Pat, just not long after that. And then several times he's been supernaturally healed. You know, he's been in hospital. They rang me once. I was in the Lake District taking a load of Pakistani lads for a holiday. I was so glad they called me back. But anyway, they said, your dad's dying. You need to come back, definitely, you know. All right, all right. It's his heart. I thought, oh, it's his time, you know. Driving back to the hospital. Let's get back to the hospital. He's gone. He's out. Ian Kirby had been, anointed him with oil. He was instantly healed. By the time I got back from the lakes, he was home. Hey! And that's happened about 4 times, hasn't it? About 4 times, he's the truth. Don't tell him. He is actually going to die one day. And we will have his funeral. That's a fact. Right. Because he's the truth. Everyone Jesus prayed for is dead now, including Lazarus. Because for Christians, death is not our enemy, you know. It's going to happen anyway. It's part of where we're living, and we're just moving on into the kingdom. And the ultimate healing is our resurrection from the dead. Our ultimate healing is that. Resurrection body, that's healing. In fact, if you're not saved and get healed, you know, have you heard me say it many times, that is a frightening thing, a waste of time. You've received something wonderful from the Lord, only to go to hell later. To have your body, your whole body, Jesus said, thrown into hell later, you know, which is a frightening thing. But let me just say something about signs. Let me just read you a few scriptures. Psalm 135, verse 9. Do you have these notes in your book? Did you get these notes? We'll send you these notes. Psalm 135, verse 9 says... Will you read this for me, darling? Do you mind? Thanks, Mark. It's boiling, isn't it?
He sent his signs and wonders into your midst, O Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants. He struck down just there.
Mm-hmm.
Just want that verse.
And then he has to stay there, sir. Please. Jeremiah 32, verse 20. This is an interesting one. Just have a listen to this. So he says, this is often phrased, he sent his signs and wonders into Egypt. You've heard of that. He sent his signs and wonders against Pharaoh. The plagues, there were signs and wonders of God against his enemies. This is an interesting one, though. Jeremiah says here in a prayer,
"You performed miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt and have continued them to this day, both in Israel and among all mankind, and have gathered the renown that is still yours."
So he says, you sent signs and wonders into Egypt, which you've still continued to this day. Oh, they didn't just stop in Egypt. In Israel and in all the nations, Jeremiah says, both in Israel and among all mankind. Jeremiah says, you're a God of miracles for everyone. You're working everywhere. And you're still working to this day, signs and wonders. And then John 4, verse 48.
Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe.
Okay, that's Jesus speaking about miracles. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. And then Matthew 10, verse 7.
As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.
Cool. So, thank you. Will you tell that story about the bank in a minute? So, Jesus is saying, look, to the apostles when he sends them out, go and heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, do miraculous signs, and tell people the kingdom of heaven is near. Healing is a sign that the kingdom of heaven is near, that Jesus is real, that God's near, that people can come to know him. And so lots of people get saved through getting healed. And it's a sign that can't be ignored, actually. If your mother is ill, you might be the biggest atheist in the world, but if she goes to church on Sunday and comes back healed, what do you do with that? It's very difficult. If she goes and says, the sermon was brilliant, you can laugh it off. If she comes home and says, you should have heard this story of a man who was a millionaire and he got saved. If she comes home and says, I can walk without sticks. Look at me dance. That's disturbing. That's disturbing in a very good way. That's the kingdom of God getting in their face. You know, and some people don't need it in their face. You know, they're not anti, they're just don't know, and they're, whoa, and they're interested. And you know Marjorie in the office upstairs? Oh yeah, Marjorie in the wheelchair. She's not in a wheelchair. What are you talking about? I'm telling you, she's walking around. You've got to go up and talk to her. What happened, like? What happened to her? Well, in their church, she had this guy come, was praying for people, and she's walking around. No way. My mum can hardly walk. Where's their church? I mean, you don't know. It's the king. It's a sign of the kingdom of God that people cannot easily ignore. When I'm sat, you know, I use the illustration of the ice cream man. You know, sometimes when the kids are little, don't do it now, because your leaders' meeting's on Sunday afternoon, but when you used to have Sunday afternoons, we used to have Sunday lunch, and then we're watching a film with the kids all settled down. Sit down, everyone, let's watch Sound of Music again. And as we sat watching, the ice cream van would come down the road. Ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding. You know, the kingdom of ice cream had come near, right?
and I am forced to make a decision. I don't want to. I'm not interested in ice cream. I'm watching telly with the kids. I've already had the dessert. I'm not interested in ice cream. But because the kingdom of ice cream is right in my face, I have to make a decision. Should we pursue ice cream? Right, go and find some change. Go on, kids. Go get out down the road and get an ice cream and get one for me as well. Okay, I can go for ice cream. Or I can say, sit down, everyone. You've already had your dessert. We're watching this. We're not going for ice cream. Okay, that's a decision as well, but I have to make it. I'm forced to make it whether I like it or not because the kingdom of ice cream has come right up. I can hear it. It's down the road. And I have to make a choice. That is what happens when miracles happen. Every time someone's healed, every time a miracle happens, someone's in their right mind or something, they weren't right, always massively disturbed, and now they're totally transformed at peace. That is very hard for anyone to shake off. They have to make a subconscious decision. They have to. Wow. She is healed. You know? My wife is healed. She's had a bad back. I don't believe what she believes, but my wife has had a bad back for 4 years, and she's running up the stairs like she's a 19-year-old. She is healed. Okay, husband, you have to do something with it. You have to, do I pursue this? What is this? What is it? That's the kingdom of God. He's pursuing. He's looking. He could get saved very easily. Or he could make another decision. I'm absolutely resisting it. I'm denying it. I'll find some rational explanation. We're not going looking for change. We're not going for ice cream. That's okay. That's your choice. But you've made a choice. And you've had to make a choice. Well, you could have just lived without choice. At a distance. But healing brings a kingdom too close. Too close for people to be able to do that. Words are never enough. Paul said the kingdom of God's not a matter of words. It's a matter of power. And so even our words need to be words of power, or you're wasting your time. Convincing people through rhetoric will not save them. Most people get saved, not through logical, that makes sense. Most people don't. Those things usually get filled in later. Actual salvation is a supernatural thing. As people proclaim Jesus as Lord, as they declare the kingdom of God, people come under something. You know, Tom and Stacey's friend got saved on Sunday night. I mean, it's a weird night to get saved, really. I mean, I don't know whether I would have liked to go to church for the first time on Sunday night, but she got saved. She's absolutely overwhelmed by it. By what? I'm not sure. Tom had to make her sure and clear with the book and pray her through, born again. But she's absolutely swept. Just, I mean, you know, it wasn't even really gospel. It was more revival night, wasn't it? But just kingdom of God, power. There's a couple of other people in first time as well who didn't come forward, but didn't dare, you know, but come and spoke to him at the end. Thank you. I've never heard anyone speak with such conviction. Are you coming back? Definitely, definitely. See you. First time ever in church. It's power evangelism. The power of God more than words. And this is the same. And healing is just part of that. Healing and miracles are just part of that. Did you share that story about when you went to the bank? And cheers. Oh, yeah, share a few things. Please do. I'm going to see the match. Yeah, use that one. Thanks.
Good evening. I just wanted to share just a few thoughts. I was thinking about this, you know, this present evil age and, like, the blue being, like, you know, the kingdom of God, really. And just Martin was saying about tension and just how, you know, as Christians, you know, we carry Jesus and his kingdom with us, if you like, you know, the treasure in earthen vessels. And it can just stay there, you know. And that's a choice for us. We can just be a Christian and know that we've got the kingdom of God and we've got the power to heal in the name of Jesus. And we can just stay there. And we have that choice to make, and it's a comfortable place just to stay there, just to be, and just to go on. But there's a tension when you go beyond that, you know, when you make that decision to be available or look for an opportunity to step out beyond the normal, or, you know, the everyday living, you know, that the feeling of, and it's like scary, really, isn't it? You know, when you think, right, I'll make myself available and I'll wait for an opportunity and I'll be willing to pray and speak to somebody, and there's a tension, you know, there's the Holy Spirit in you, you know, your heart's pounding and there's a tension there, you know, and it's like, you have to, it's like a step of faith, you know, to take that step over that line, you know, this present evil age and the kingdom of God, and it's stepping over that present evil age. It's like stepping into something, and it's scary, and it's like, you don't know what you're going to meet there, you know. But I just wanted to encourage us to do that, you know. And you know, and in your life, you can go on for a while and feel like, oh, well, I haven't really talked to anybody or spoke to anybody or shared with anybody or prayed for anybody. And then you think, right, okay. And if you make yourself available and wait for an opportunity and ask the Holy Spirit to show you, you know, there'll be opportunities come your way. I mean, you've probably heard a lot of things I've done, but, or, you know, experienced, but just a couple of things. I think, like that one about the bank, you might have heard that one. Just one time we was in the bank, I was going to put a cheque in the bank in the Halifax, and there's a lady in there that kind of knew just by going in the bank. And I was standing in the queue, and I could see that behind the counter she had a bandage on her arm. And I was looking and wondering. And then I went to her there, and I was putting these euros in. She said, oh, you can't put them in there. You have to get them changed where you got them from, the post office. And then I walked away, went to the post office, and I was thinking about this lady, Diane, and her hand. And I was thinking, I wonder what she's done to her hand, you know. And then I was coming back, and I just felt, I mean, you know, a lot of it can be from compassion. Jesus, a lot of the healing he did was compassion, you know. And I came back into the bank, and I saw her, and I said, right, Lord, if you want me to talk to her and opportunity to pray for her, my heart's pounding in the queue, you know, then let me get to her again, that same counter. So I was standing in the queue and waiting. And you know it's God because, you know, your heart's going and you've got faith, really. You know God's going to do something. So I got there, and there's I got into Diane's queue, and I was chatting to her, and I just asked her about her hand, and she said that she'd been digging in the garden, and she'd like banged the spade, and there was a big rock, and she'd like jarred her hand, and she said, I think I've broken it, she said, because I've done it before. She said, I'm going to the doctor's tomorrow, but I can't use it. It's really painful. And I said, all right. And I said, oh, I said that I was a Christian. I said, would you like us to pray for your hand, you know, that Jesus will heal it? She went, oh, yes, please, you know. I said, right. I said, when I go from here, I'll pray with Martin, and we pray that Jesus will heal your hand. And she said, all right, thank you, Margaret. So then I went, and as soon as I met Martin, I said, can we pray for Diane? So we prayed that God, actually the prayer was that when she goes to bed tonight, as she sleeps, that her hand will be healed, her wrist will be healed, and then when she wakes up, that she'll have no more pain. And then I was in the bank 2 weeks after that, and there's Diane, and she's behind the counter. Margaret, she said, did you pray? I said, I did. She said, I'm healed. She said, I went to bed that night, she said, and then in agony pain, I was going to the doctor's the next day, she said, and I woke up, and all the pain had gone. I was totally healed. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, another time I'd gone in, and there was another woman, you know, actually a Muslim woman. She was chatting to her, and she was testifying about, she's not even a Christian, but about what God had done for her, you know. But it's like, but it was just having courage, you know, and saying, right, Lord, you know, give me opportunity, show me if, you know, and it's a challenge, isn't it? Because it takes courage, and you can feel weird or whack, or, but it's that tension of, and just more recently, you know, I work in a school now, just with children on a lunchtime in the playground, and I love it, you know, with all these children. But it's amazing how they just come and tell you all the little woes and all their illnesses and everything. So the thing is, it's a Catholic school, so in a sense, it's kind of, it's all right to talk about God and all right to talk about prayer and things like that, so it's quite good. And there's been a few children talking to me, and one little girl, Rosie, she has these hips. She said, I'm going to get an operation. I've got really bad hips. They're really painful when I run round. And I said, oh, well, we pray for you, Rosie, that Jesus will make you better and bless your operation and all this. And I kept talking to him, going away. I didn't pray for her there, but praying for her, you know, at home, and kept talking to him, praying for her. And she went for an examination to go for this x-ray. But she didn't go for the x-ray, but she went for the examination. And she came, she said, Mrs. Riddick, she said, you know, she said, all the pain's gone. She said, they don't have to do the operation anymore. You know, and it's, and we say, thank you, Jesus, you know, and it's like, it's all right. It's like healing doesn't have to be like, or your experience of what you were doing with God doesn't have to be right out there and everybody has to know about it. It could be just like that kind of thing, you know. And there's another little girl, actually, she's got epilepsy, little Ruby. And I was talking to her one day and I was saying about God blessing her and healing her, and she said, yeah. And then she came back a couple of days later and she had this monitor put in under her arm. And it's amazing, really. I just thought, this is an example of having the kingdom of God and Jesus in you or in us. Because I was in the dining hall and she was having a lunch and she saw me and she just had this monitor put in and was really uncomfortable under her skin. And she like got out of a seat and she got hold of me and she brought me to where she was sitting. And she sat down and she's got my hand and she put my hand on her there and like looked at me as if to say, pray for me. I mean, I don't think anybody's ever done that but she just knew. She just took me there and put my hand there and looked at me as if to say, pray for me, you know. And I just think that's an example of like little children recognizing, you know, God and, you know, do that kind of thing. And there was one little boy called George, and he's got he wears a club shoe, you know, so he's got one leg shorter than the other, so praying for him as well, you know, that God will grow his leg. He's got another brother, Harry, and so I mean, you have to have wisdom with these children at school. I mean, can't go around like sort of making a big deal out of it all kind of thing, you know. But so we're chatting to George and just blessing him, and Harry's brother said he was off this day, and I said, oh, where's George? Oh, his leg's hurting him today. And he said, and we've been praying for it to grow, you see. And he said, I said, oh, we'll give him our love and tell him we'll keep praying for that leg. And then he just looked at me, Harry, and he said, it's growing, you know. And I looked at him and I said, what? He said, his leg's growing. I said, and I mean, I never talked to them about the legs growing. I just was praying that his leg would grow. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I measure his leg. He said, now I've been measuring it. He said, and it's grown longer. And he's getting a new shoe. And he's got a new shoe now, and it's smaller, you know. So it's just to encourage us, you know. I know, is it awesome? But it's just to encourage us that, you know, it could be here on a Sunday night in front of everybody, or it could be just something nobody knows about, something quiet, but just to have, just to be available to God. And it is that tension of like, oh, you know, and it's hard. But, like, you know, go for it.
Fantastic. Is there anything else you want to tell me? What time am I meant to go till? Now?
I don't know what time.
9 o'clock?
Yeah, about
now. Time's matched out. I mean, what time's the year? So, I tell you what, I could talk forever, but should we do the activation? You've heard enough, haven't you? Who's going to pray for the sick? Who's going to determine not to get discouraged and keep going? Well, you've learned an awesome lesson then. Can we just demonstrate this with you guys? Who here has any sickness or ailment at all? Just lift your hand up a minute. Brilliant. Would you be willing to come out and just line up here for a second while I interview you? Just interview you, see if you're going to get the job. This is meant to demonstrate a few different things. It's meant to demonstrate the fact that, right, just show us, right, for a second, another show of hands. How many of you, I mean, it's a stupid question because you all know the answer, but sorry. Okay, we'll interview individuals. Hello. Hello. What's your name?
My name's Sharon.
This is Sharon. Sharon, tell us what the problem is.
When I read or go on the computer or anything like that's close up, within 5, 10, 15 minutes, I...